2016 marks the 20th year we've been a band. It's been quite a haul when I look back on it. One moment it seems like only a year has gone by, and other times it seems like we've been doing it for 100 years. In an industry where the average lifespan for a name band has been determined to be 7 years, surpassing it almost threefold is a distinction I wear with pride. What makes it even sweeter are the naysayers and dissenters we've proven wrong with our perseverance by just playing rock and roll music. And that's all par for the course, necessary vetting to weed out the weak. But here we still stand, readying up the next batch of songs for our next studio album. Though much of our band has changed over 2 decades, what has remained is the unwavering adherence to rock and roll music and the respect and reverence for those who preceded us. The word respect is a huge word for me. It's a word that can only be earned through dogged work, paid dues, experience, and is often the compass I use when assessing people, determining situations, making decisions. I will shoot my own foot off if I feel it is lacking, whether it be to me or to someone I hold in high regard. But for as much respect as I have for my predecessors, I have learned that equal respect must be given to the incredible talent that has preceded us. After all, respect is a two-way street. Now, admittedly, I was late to the party when I found out about Ricky Tilo. It was through Instagram when I randomly stumbled on a photo of Ricky with Slash, and after a cursory troll of his social media sites, found out Ricky Tilo is the guitarist for Lady Gaga. Heavy distinction indeed. I felt about 5 inches tall after that. But what hit home was Ricky is from my own neighborhood in Scarborough, Ontario. I suddenly felt a kinship to him, and I needed to reach out to him. But even in doing so, I felt a tinge of hesitation. The music industry is an egomaniacal world filled with braggart showboats steering its course, and I have often been rebuked when extending a kind word. Not in this case. My tweets to Ricky were met in kind, and after a few online exchanges and a guitar summit meeting at the Coffee Guitar Coffee Shop on Bloor Street in Toronto, I knew I had to have Ricky Tilo on the podcast. Now, for anyone living under a rock for the past few years and don't know who Lady Gaga is hands down the biggest pop star in the world. She's risen the ranks of fame high enough to sit alongside icons like Madonna, Michael Jackson, Bruce Springsteen, and Prince. In this digital age of internet downloading, she has still managed to sell over 27 million albums and 146 million singles worldwide. That is more than impressive. It is downright phenomenal. Whether you like her music or not, it cannot be denied. She is an unmatched entertainer, a powerful singer, and an astonishing visionary. Her pop music and her image is a mélange of highbrow, lowbrow, funk, jazz, art kitsch, all while making it accessible for a wide mainstream audience. It's a tightrope that even the most envious of naysayers would have to concede is impressive. To play alongside Lady Gaga, someone with that accomplished of a CV, one must be at the top of their game. To put it bluntly, they gotta be better than everyone else. And when I see Ricky Tilo post an Instagram video of him doing the intro to Van Halen's Mean Streets like it ain't no thing, I can quickly see why the dude got the job and has had it since 2009. Also playing with Lady Gaga on guitar is Tim Stewart. And again, Tim's another monster musician with gigs playing for Rihanna, Britney Spears, and Infectious Grooves under his belt. Putting the two of them together, Ricky and Tim, is like scoring 2 first-round draft picks. Now, when these two all-stars partner up and form their own band, the results can only be impressive. And that's exactly what they've done with their new band, Knives. A stunning display of heavy guitar prowess mixed with a parade of influences that will make any dyed-in-the-wool rock and roller a fan. Hooking up with Ricky, I got an exclusive listen to their debut album, Boy Friday. And here on this episode, Ricky and I talk about how he got the gig for Lady Gaga, Knives, and a whole lot of other stuff as well. When I see cats like this on the scene, I know that rock and roll will be just fine, and I'm lying prostrate in admiration. Tim was supposed to be on the podcast since he was in town for the Rihanna gig, but couldn't make it. That's fine. That only means he needs to come back with Ricky, and we lay another one down. I want to thank Blue Mic Microphones and Skullcandy Headphones for their continued support of the podcast. I want to thank Chino Locos Restaurants for making fish burritos stuffed with chow mein noodles. And thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode and any of the other episodes we've uploaded. We post on iTunes and SoundCloud, and they're free to listen to, free to download, and it is free to subscribe to the podcast too. I do this podcast strictly because I just really love to do this, and it keeps me out of trouble, keeps me occupied while out on the road. The people that I have on this podcast are a very selective and curated bunch. They aren't asked on because I need content or because I need to drive some sort of online traffic somewhere. I just want to talk about music and, you know, whatever with people I admire. So here you go. Ricky Tilo is this episode's guest on the official Danko Jones podcast, and it starts now. The Danko Jones podcast is the best around. Nick Flanagan is Danko's go out down for free. I'm so glad I do sometimes. Jimmy in from fucked up. Stop playing. Hang down. Down. What do you see in my future? What do you reading in bones? She paused for a while, flashing alligator smile, and she told me Danko Jones.
Login protocol initiated. Sequencing algorithm interface. The official Danko Jones podcast uploaded. Listen with caution. Are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, get ready because the Danko Jones podcast starts. No!
Ricky, you are here, man.
What's
we
up,
finally
man?
Did it. I don't know. It's been a year or almost a year of trying to get this podcast.
Like, yeah, I feel like it was like, maybe 6-7 months, maybe something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now we're here. Yeah.
I'm glad you're here, man. I've been looking forward to this, getting you down here on the podcast. And you were somebody who I found, we found each other on Instagram or social media.
Yep.
Your photo appeared in my kind of search thing on Instagram. It's a picture of you and Slash.
Mm-hmm.
And the caption was, this is my, hero. I look up to this guy. It was great, hanging out with you. And then the first thing I think is, who's this guy? Who's hanging out with Slash? And then I did a little bit of, poking around, a little trolling. I trolled you a little bit.
Yeah.
And I realized who you played with, but more importantly, what got me is you're from my hood, man.
Yeah, man.
You play in, you are the guitar player, one of the two guitar players in Lady Gaga's band, mm-hmm. and you are from Scarborough, Ontario, man. And then I reached out to you. We started to name drop neighborhood streets or something like that. So did you go to Bethune?
No, I went to Cardinal Newman High School.
Cardinal Newman.
Yeah.
Like I might have gone there. I could have gone
You could have, yeah.
I was this close, man.
Yeah.
But man. You know Bethune and you know Lamoureux and John
King,
McDonald.
Yeah. Says Senator O'Connor. Man. Mother Teresa MT by the mall. Man.
Because, growing up out there at the time that I did, rock and roll had its day. Scarborough was known back in the day for being, the stereotypical Mike Myers Wayne's World.
Yeah.
Was based out of the Scarberian rocker from the 70s and the 80s. But then by the time I was growing up, it had lost that whole thing. So right. I grew up with nobody being into rock and roll out in Scarborough. So knowing that, Sacrifice were from Scarborough, that was the closest thing. Yeah. And Rush shooting the Subdivisions video in my neighborhood was the closest thing. But when I found you on Twitter and Instagram, and you're from Scarborough and you play guitar and you you're just this searing guitar player. I had to reach out to you.
Oh, man.
And it was nice that you replied back. I'm like, ah, this guy has no way. Yeah, he's, oh, man. And it was great, man. It was great. And it was nice to make contact with you.
Yeah, likewise, man. You know, when you hit me up, I was like, man, Danko Jones hitting me up on Twitter? This is crazy. Like, back in the day, the Bounce video. I'm like, man, I'll watch that. It was like, the rock and roll and growing up in Scarborough at that time, you know, like, only had a few friends, you know. My two best friends still, they sat in my homeroom class, like, literally, like, you know, my friend Mike was sitting right in front of me, and my friend John was right beside me, and we formed a band, like, right there, the grade 9 homeroom. So it found me pretty quickly, as, you know, I'd only been playing guitar for a few years, and immediately was in a band, you know, so kind of crazy that way. You know, I didn't really have any friends who played rock music until I hit high school, like when I went to Newman. So sort of got me on the path really quickly. Started playing, yeah, and never looked back.
Now,
after that,
I mean, yeah. I don't mean to fast forward here,
yeah,
because obviously there's, you know, a lot of work in between, but
yeah.
I think the first thing that ran through my mind, like a lot of people, is how did you get the gig for Lady Gaga, being from Scarborough, Ontario, Canada? And it's not as if, you know, like, for example, when I heard that Nuno Bettencourt from Extreme was playing with Rihanna, well, that made sense to me because he was, you know, in a band that, you know, had a number one hit, and yeah. It's just a natural thing.
Mm.
So how did you go from being where you are to being in the band of arguably the biggest pop star in the world?
Well, I heard about the open audition call from a friend of mine, and she was going down to try out as a vocalist. You know, she said, "I'm going to do these auditions in New York City for Lady Gaga." And I said, "Hey, is she looking for a band as well too?" And she said, "Yeah, you know, let me see." Email me back, say, yeah, you know, we can get you an audition time. And I was like, oh, really? They're looking for a band. Crazy. So I ended up just driving down. I didn't have any money for a plane ticket or whatever, so just packed my guitar and headed down there and auditioned. And it was like maybe, I can't even remember, over 100 guitar players. And we had to audition in a room together, play in front of each other.
Oh, my God.
Unaccompanied, you know.
Now, what number were you in the line?
Yeah, I think I was like 27, 28 or something like that. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there was enough people for them to kind of gauge as to what they wanted, what they were looking for.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, man, a lot of them could really play. So I was like, man, you know,
God,
we'll see what happens.
So you, this was the last of your money to make it down there almost?
Or? Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, my band, the same guys that I was talking about, we formed in high school, our band Robot Man. We spent, you know, our last few bucks in L.A. We rented a house in L.A. for a little bit and tried to record a record and played all the shows down there and ended up, you know, spending all our money. I was like, or at least me anyway, you know. I was like, I'll go back to Toronto and see if I can pick up some gigs, you know, local things, and make enough money to come back down here. And
three Catholic schoolboys went to L.A. to make it.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, me going through the Catholic Separate School Board in Toronto myself, I couldn't find, I mean, I found some like-minded people, but I don't know if they were, you know, dedicated enough to quit everything and move to L.A. That's very admirable. I have to give you that.
Yeah, man. You know, we played together for years and wanted to give it a shot, and we did. And man, after that, you know, after I ended up getting the gig, I hit my friends up. I'm like, hey, man, I think I ended up getting the gig playing with Lady Gaga. And they're like, oh, I can't be mad at you, you know. We try to do this thing. We can do this whenever. And I still play with these guys, too. So whenever in town, we try to book a rehearsal spot and... Like old times, man. Same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. I mean, they're very capable players without hearing them to play with you, knowing that you got the gig for Lady Gaga.
Mm.
But, yeah, you got to give it to your friend if,
if he or she gets a gig as prestigious as that.
Yeah.
Now, what is it that you did, you in your head, do you think, that, that won over the crew, the Lady Gaga crew?
Well, you know, playing in clubs in Toronto here, you know, cover gigs and things like that. I used to do this thing, play this bar, Joe Mama's on King Street, and they had a bar there. Like, it just sort of, like, wraps around the whole venue, and I would just jump on the bar, and I'd throw my guitar down on the bar, and I'd play slide guitar. So I ended up just doing that there. Add a loop pedal. Looped, like, a little, like, funk sort of guitar loop, and the people who were watching, creative director and musical director, they were sitting at a desk. I was like, oh, I'll use the desk. Cool. You know, took my guitar off and played slide guitar on it, and they were tripping out. I was like, oh, I guess they've never seen that before. So I ended up stealing that move, actually, from Jack White. I saw him play, I think, on Conan. They did, like, a week-long thing a few years back when Elephant came out. And
yeah.
He went on Conan's desk and played slide and sort of took that and <That's> rolled with it, you know? So
that's amazing.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine how intimidated everyone, including yourself, must have felt during that whole process where you have to do it in front of everybody.
Yeah. The other thing was, you know, I was there, and if anything, when my best friend, he lived in New Jersey, and he's a music producer, this guy, August Rigo, one of my best friends. And
I think I've seen him on your Instagram or something.
Yeah, like, he's a great R&B artist, great songwriter. He's written songs for, like, Justin Bieber and One Direction. Like, he's, you know, pretty up there, like, pop songwriter. So I figured, hey, if anything, I'm here in New York. I can, if I don't end up getting the gig, I'll just hang with my friend and see what we can do. We write some tunes and, you know. Yeah, but worked out. And
What year was this? Because
this is 2010.
So it's been a long time now.
Yeah, it's about, like, 6 years now.
So you got the gig with Lady Gaga, and you toured the world.
Yeah, that's right. It was a pretty quick process. You know, ended up when Gaga ended up deciding on who her band was going to be. We were literally just on the road immediately. Like, we roll into rehearsals, and I think our first gig was in Manchester at the MEN Arena for, like, 25,000 people.
That's your first gig with Lady Gaga.
Yeah. So.
Oh, what's going through your mind, man? Like,
it's overwhelming.
Yeah, you know? I can imagine.
Yeah, it's a completely different thing, and, you know, getting used to playing with in-ears as well too. You know, that was a huge thing. You know, playing, I'm used to playing clubs. Yeah, and on wedges and stuff. So that was a huge adjustment. But yeah, and just the energy of it all. You know, there's so many things going on while you're playing. You know, there's crew members and all the, you know, different set pieces, people running around, and, you know, all the dancers as well too. So yeah, it's like sensory overload for sure. And I'm sure it is, you know, definitely is for the audience. You just watch them and they're just like deer in the headlights, man. This is just so much to watch all the time. And yeah.
Now, as a traveling, you know, being a traveling band myself, and, you know, a lot of things that people don't take into account when they think of a band, and they wonder, oh, why is it that, you know, they just can't get it together? I think what the committee must have taken into account during the audition process, past you know, the prowess on the instrument, is the personality, and if that person can get along with the rest of the people in the crew. So how was it? Was everybody, like, it seems like it, at least with, you know, the core band, it becomes a family of somewhat.
The funny thing is about that is when everyone, you know, it wasn't just guitar players that were auditioning, it was like the full band in that lobby. So, you know, you just end up walking around and start talking to people. And I ended up talking to pretty much all the members of the band before we all formed. It was crazy just talking to them. They were the only ones who were really cool, you know, and, like, actually just, like, cool people to talk to. You know, Kareem, their other original guitar player, they called him Jesus Long Hair, you know. We hit it off immediately. I talked to him before. I'm like, man, this is... I told him my story about how, you know, coming down to the audition and
not affording a plane ticket and all that. And man, he's like, man, you have to get the gig now. This is like too good.
It's too good of a story to not have it happen.
This is too crazy. This is just like, and then seeing him play as well too. I think he went on before me, and I was like, man, his guitar sound was crazy. Like, great stage persona. And,
you know, they were looking for two?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they were looking for two guys. And he stuck around for my audition. And we spoke afterwards. And he was like, man, you shut it down. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, man, they weren't even really looking after that. I'm like, oh, okay. Damn. So I talked to him. I was like, man, we're going to get this. Like, let's make this happen. Both of us, see if we can get this gig. He's like, yeah, man, let's do it up. And we ended up getting it. It was crazy.
Now, continuing on with that thought, there was supposed to be a third guy here, but he seems to have been he's MIA. But that's all good because he is in town for a very important reason.
Yeah,
he's playing with Rihanna, Tim Stewart.
Yeah.
Who is also with you in the Lady Gaga band.
This is right, yeah.
And you guys got along so well that you formed an actual band together.
Yeah. Tim joined the second tour, this Born This Way tour. Kareem had to leave, I think Tim came in. They just called Tim because he's the best guitar player in the world. Like, really great. Already played for so many artists, you know, pop artists, and you know, and I had met him years before. I was on a tour playing for an artist named Divine Brown, Canadian artist, and amazing, like, you know. And we did a stint opening for Backstreet Boys, and Tim was a guitar player for Backstreet Boys at the time, and I remember seeing him play, and I was like, man, who is this guy? He sounded so amazing, you know. And I met him then. We were friends since then. Kept in contact. And but anyway, yeah, we'd known each other for years before that. And I always looked up to him as a guitar player. And when he joined the band, I was like, man, we could finally get a chance to play together. You know, came up with some ideas. You know, obviously, when two guitar players were always jamming all the time, coming up with different things, and it's like, man, these ideas are starting to sound kind of cool, man. Maybe we should go in the studio and record them, or start recording them on our laptops. And our drummer, Spanky, amazing George Spanky McCurdy, man.
So he's also in the Lady Gaga.
He's with Lady Gaga as well too, and he played with so many artists as well. Like, amazing drummer. Anyway,
I saw a little clip of him online somewhere.
Yeah,
it's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, he's a phenom, right?
Yeah,
like a force of nature.
Yeah.
really groundbreaking drummer as far as his ideas, and we're like, man, we should just get Spanky in the studio. When we have a day off next, we'll book somewhere and just get in the studio, just jam out these ideas. Ended up doing that, and man, I think we can pull together a record out of this stuff. So, started working on it, and started out one way, you know, like these loose sort of jams, and taking them back to the hotel rooms, listening to them, editing them, like coming up with more riffs and tightening them up. You know the process, right? And Tim had one of his friends, Jay Medeiros, our vocalist. They had been friends for years, and Tim was like, immediately once he heard what was happening with the music, he's like, Jay would be perfect for this, you know. Sent the music to Jay, and Jay sent it back one of the songs. Man, this is the sound. This is it. Let's see if we can make it happen, you know.
I was gonna say when I heard the Knives album, and I've listened to it a couple of times through now.
Yeah,
it's on SoundCloud. You gave me a link, or a private link. You gave me.
Yeah, it's not even out yet. You know,
so that was a private link.
Yeah, I was like, I wonder what Danko would think about this stuff. Let's see what's up. You know,
I mean, he's like, from a guitar standpoint, I mean, I'm like I said to you off the mic, I'm pretty much a spectator.
Oh no, man.
So I listen as, you know, just I don't listen to guitar playing. From a from a professional standpoint, I listen to it as a fan because I'm awed by it. Mm. Great guitar players. But singers, I have more of an immediate connection. I can relate to where they're coming from immediately. Yeah. And I thought his vocals were a mixture of Zach De La Rocha from Rage Against the Machine with Chino Moreno from Deftones.
Oh, wow.
Kind of a mixture of that. When you reference people, sometimes the person who's being described gets offended, you know. So I do it very trepidatiously. But still, I thought, well, the whole rap rhyming singing thing was obviously a nod to Zach. Is that off?
Jay's begun that comparison.
He's a rhymer.
Yeah, he's a rhymer. Yeah. He's part of a group called the Percussionists as well too, and he's got his own solo project as well too under Mr. Jay Medeiros.
Right.
Actually, that stuff is out now. Tim and Spanky and I ended up working on that first. It was kind of at the same time. Jay was working on his solo thing, and we were, you know, putting together the Knives thing. And Jay's like, "Hey, man, do you guys mind if I use you on the record as well too, my solo record?" I'm like, "Okay, cool." So, but yeah, he's just amazing solo artist in his own right, and I've been doing it for years. And I think he'd gotten that Zach comparison before. For sure,
I hope he doesn't get angry over it. Yeah, it's a natural thing because I don't think a lot of people are doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
So he would be the first go-to guy. But there's a kind of a Chino Moreno kind of vibe to it as well when he does kind of start singing with melody and stuff like that. So I thought the blend was great. I thought the music was incredible.
Oh, thanks, man.
And the blend worked. But a lot of the times when people try to do that, rhyming with full-on rock music, it can go either way. But I think you guys are able to toe the line and stay the course. I thought it was a really good album.
Oh, great. Thanks,
and I'm being sincere about that.
Thank you very much.
It was really good. Something that I would definitely go, hey, you should listen to this.
Oh.
This is great. And it's not just because you're here.
Thanks, man.
But I thought it was cool that the two of you as guitar players had joined forces outside of what I guess you're most known for.
Right.
And done something original in the rock vein.
Right.
Because it's like a pop world that you guys revolve in. Is it because you guys live in this pop world constantly and working in it that you need this outlet to go, hey, we got in this through rock music. We got to have an outlet to get it out.
That's right. I mean, Tim as well too has got, his rock background as well too. So kind of fell into the pop world, you know, out of, hey man, yeah, so the record sounding the way it is always, you know, how the music always sounded in our heads, you know, the stuff that we've always wanted to do. You know, you're 16 years old, this is the sound in your head, like, nothing's going to sound any better than, you know, what you initially heard growing up and where it was influenced by. So it's, that's the result of this, how this record sounds. It's just like bringing what's in the head and out in the world, you know, so, yeah.
Well, there's a lot of, when I was growing up as a metal kid, a rock and roller kid, I'd look at these pop acts and I'd be like, fuck this pop shit. Mm. Then I grew up and then I got exposed to the inner makings of it. And I realized, you know, a lot of the people who are making this shit are all rock and rollers. They're all metalheads. They're all rock and rollers. It's like how Richard Fortus was playing in the Backstreet Boys, and now he's in GNR. You know, like, and you know, you meet some of these players for some of these pop singers that back them up, and it's like, holy fuck, you play all the guys who make rock music. You play them under the table, man. Okay, I get it. You know?
Yeah.
So I have it's not newfound because it's been like this for me for a while.
Yeah.
But I have a definite respect because it's something that I could never do for you guys who go in there and back up these incredible singers because you're playing at a level that, you know, none of these so-called armchair experts could even play at. So, I mean, my hat is doffed. And the thing about, you know, with Knives is how much of an outlet it is for you guys. But I'm curious to know, since you have kind of mentioned it, what is your What is your path and your history with rock music? Who are the people, especially when it comes to guitar playing, who are the people that you looked up to that helped you along the way?
Right.
And being in Gaga's band, have you met them? And have you, like, tell me about that stuff too, because that's another world, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you mentioned Slash early on, and that's... You know, one of my very first memories growing up is seeing, you know, my cousin Ernie. He had a Guns N' Roses poster in his.
Everyone's got bedroom. A cousin Ernie.
You do? Yeah, baby. yeah, and I was already intrigued by it. Even before I even heard the music, I was like, man, that is the Appetite for Destruction poster. I'm like, wow, what is that? And he played me, I think he played me Paradise City, and I was like, oh. That is crazy.
Yeah.
That was my first sort of introduction to that. I want to play guitar. You know, I'd been playing piano for years, too. My parents got me into playing piano. And
did you like playing piano?
No.
That's no, kind of my route as well.
Yeah, I didn't really like it very much. And, you know, my dad brought my uncle's old Yamaha acoustic home one day just to borrow. I just put it on the couch, and I saw it. I was like, wow. Picked it up, immediately gravitated towards it, and after that, I was useless to society after that. I just really wanted to do that. Rock music, so Slash, Eddie Van Halen, obviously. I heard Eruption. I had a guitar teacher in Scarborough, my first guitar teacher was all into that stuff, you know, exposed me to Van Halen, Guns N' Roses as well, too. The Stones, man, yeah.
I saw you on Instagram posted, you did the intro to Mean Streets.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, I had my phone in my hand, I'm like, holy fucking hell. To me, when I listen to that, I'm like, oh, you just wing that in the studio and... That was a one take thing, and then you can duplicate.
Oh,
it's like that's incredible.
Yes, man, that took so long. Hearing that, I heard that for the first time. I was like, "What is that? How are you even?"
Yeah,
yeah, that didn't even sound like a guitar. You know, I love that.
I mean, this podcast can moonlight very easily into a Van Halen podcast.
I know. Talk about Van Halen. Yeah, all day. Sound, man.
The sound is incredible.
Yeah.
And something that, like, not a lot of people, they talk about Eruption, but they don't talk about the tone and the sound is like.
Yeah.
So, and especially, like, in 78, like, how did you find it? You know, yeah.
Explosive, right? That's the main. You know, the adjective that I use, like, man, that's very crazy. Like, it sounds like the sound is exploding from the speakers. And those records, it's coming out of one side. Only one, you know, I forget when they started putting the guitar on both sides, left and right. But those first few records, such a big sound, and the guitar is only coming out from one speaker. You're like, how is this even possible? Like,
do you have a similar kind of path with, you know, I can cite the ones that everybody cites, like Vai, Satriani. Are these all like Vinnie Moore, all the Mike Varney stuff? Are you of that school?
No, actually, Van Halen was like kind of like I looked at all the other guys like Vai and Satriani and stuff, but I never got the same. You know, Eddie was gritty, man. He had this the songs. I sort of gravitated towards more of the songs rather than. The playing, but also very influenced by the playing at the same time. But that sound really connected to me, and there's something very raw and also, you know, a little bit punk rock about it too. It's really, you know, not many overdubs, not too many, you know.
That's something that I think it gets overlooked by rock and roll historians. Is that punk was breaking when the first Van Halen record came out.
Right.
And how Roth is such he takes in culture, like he eats it up.
Right.
That punk rock did affect. And there's the Atomic Punk.
Right.
They named it after the punk rock movement.
So, yeah.
That's something that I think a lot of people don't even realize about Van Halen. You know, rock and roll bands, when it comes to rock and roll bands, I think Motorhead get lumped in with, yeah, they crossed over, but
yeah,
there was a bit of a crossover with Van Halen that I think is overlooked by a lot.
So many musical influences at once, you know, yeah. If you're, you know, on the surface, they're this, you know, party rock band, but on the other hand, like, you know, they're throwing things from jazz, they're throwing a lot of, you know, Clapton stuff. Those are all like sped up Eric Clapton licks, you know, as he says,
Eddie,
you know,
yeah.
Richie Blackmore style stuff, Jimi Hendrix kind of things in there too. Like, but you're getting it all at once, you know. And you mentioned Motorhead as well too. That's another one. That's like, you hear that and it's like this brash, crazy music. But also, you know, the foundation of it is this blues. It's like, you know, rockabilly stuff. You're getting that all at once as well too. So, yeah. Sensory overload, man, you know.
Yeah. Now, yeah. When it comes to today's guitar players, like, I had Nita Strauss on the podcast last
year. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and
amazing.
She's phenomenal.
Yeah, great.
And she's
great
in Alice Cooper's player. Band. And,
yeah.
But some of the other players, like Tosin Abasi,
right.
From Animals as Leaders.
Yeah.
He's someone in all those, like, Scale the Summit guys. Are you up with that, all that kind of stuff?
Tosin, I met, are the first incarnation of Knives. We didn't have a singer, you know, so it was just, and actually Spanky, our drummer, it was he had a gig at NAMM and he asked Tim and I to play at it. It was like I think it was like the 35th anniversary or 40th, I can't remember, for Tama Drums. And he failed to mention that we would be going on after Animals as Leaders and members of Anthrax. And, you know, I was like, oh. So you get there, we see these bands play. I'm like, man, we're about to get shut down, you know. And we didn't really plan. We ended up just going. He was like, oh, we're just going to jam. We'll just think of some stuff and jam together. And I'm seeing these bands play before us. I'm like, man, we cannot wing it right now. This is crazy, dude. Like, are you insane? Anyway, we pulled through it, whatever. And then the next day, I was eating at some restaurant. I can't even remember. And Tosin comes up to me, taps me on the shoulder. He's like, man, what was that band you were playing with yesterday? I was like, man, we were just jamming, you know? Those are my homies. Like, and he's like, man, you guys are amazing. I was like, dude, I think you guys are great. Like, Tosin is an incredible guitar player, incredible songwriter. Like, they're working on a new record right now too. Like, man. But yeah, I feel like we all just sort of floating around, man. Like, he's we recognize each other's music, you know. People sort of respect people are doing it on a certain, our musicians. Respect other musicians who are doing it kind of at the same level, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love his stuff. You know, Javier as well too, man.
Oh yeah,
yeah, right. Man. Both of them together, really great.
It's, you know, people tend to focus on the guitar.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, definitely the shit that's going on that, all three of them.
Yeah.
That's a band where I go, well, I'm a fan. Because there's no way I'm a peer. So let me just enjoy it. And I just it's like, it just reminds me that, like, well, you know, as much as, you know, if you ever think, you know, you're all that hot shit.
Yeah.
Like, you got nothing on these guys. Like, so.
Yeah. 8-string guitars, man.
Kind of cheating. Like, kind of cheating, but yeah.
It's pretty crazy what they do with it. You don't think that the elements that they add to it, like the funk kind of stuff and, you know, also the African influences in their music as well, too, classical stuff. They're just throwing everything. It's like all their influences at once, you know. It's crazy. I can't even really, like, try to attempt to play it. It's nuts, you know.
Well, the fact that you can even attempt to even play Animals as Leaders stuff, I mean, you're on that level. So,
oh, no, man.
I'll just be backing you with an A chord, like, okay.
Hey, man, that's us too. That's us too. Just don't move the A chord, man. You know, just keep hitting it, you know. Yeah.
Okay, now there's one thing I got to say. With Knives, the album is called Grey Matter?
Called Boy Thursday.
Boy Thursday. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
The album's called Boy Thursday. The band is Knives.
Yep.
Track 7.
Which one is track 7?
I believe it is, has a guest vocalist. The only guest on the album.
Yes, okay.
And that, when I saw his name, man, I was like, I emailed you. I'm like,
yeah.
How the fuck did you get him? How did you get Mike Muir? Like, he's one of my favorite personalities in music, like, ever. I love Suicidal Tendencies.
We do too. And Tim, I think Tim at one point subbed in to play with them, and that's his connection to the band. It was Tim at one point on guitar.
Was it Infectious Bruce?
I think it might have been Infectious.
Because that's maybe more. I would say that would be.
It was that and Thundercat. The bass player.
I know who he is. He works with Erykah Badu, right?
Yeah. And he's got his own thing as well, too. His solo stuff
so
is
Tim plays
crazy.
With him?
Yeah, that's
and
like their whole
who's the drummer in Infectious?
Ron Brenner,
heavy duty
right?
Too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when we saw, we had a day off on tour, like this is going back 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
And Infectious Grooves were in Barcelona. So we went to see them play.
Yeah.
And the band, Mike, apparently he had some sort of like pinched nerve or something, where he just could stay. He couldn't move. He just stood there and he did the show. He didn't cancel, but the band was so fucking heavy. And he's like, Tim's. Oh, that's so heavy, man.
Yeah. So that was the connection, you know. And when I heard about that, I was like, dude, that's so crazy. Like, Tim's like, man, I ended up linking with Mike and just started talking to him about stuff. And you know, Tim usually, you know, Tim is a great songwriter and producer as well, too. He works as his friend Monty, amazing keyboard player. And they're on the road together, actually, with Rihanna's band right now. Monty plays with Rihanna as well. And they have a studio in L.A. and they write amazing songs, produce songs. And Tim would always go over to Mike and then ask him opinions on the stuff that he's working on. Like, he'll play on the stuff and, you know, pick his brain, you know? So he ended up playing the Knives stuff we were working on. And Mike apparently really liked it and invited us over just to talk, just to, you know, hang out. They wanted to be a part of it as well. So that was kind of
Mike wanted to be a part of the Knives. He went to you.
Yeah, he came up to us and we asked him. Like, Tim actually approached him and said, "What do you think about this stuff?" And I think we only had one song at the time, called Fine Print. I think it's the second track on the record. And he really liked it. He said he was working out to it, and you know, when are you guys coming up with more stuff? When's the record coming out? Like, man, piece by piece, you know.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and it was cool. I think Tim approached him about maybe doing a song together, and that's how the song is called X's and O's.
That's right.
And now he's on that, and it's trippy, right? Like, here in the back, I'm like, man.
Yeah. He's not prominent on the track.
Yeah.
It seems like his vocals were through an effect or something.
Yeah, no, he's like he does like the sort of his yell at the end of the chorus is like,
okay.
Yeah. And that pitched down vocal, I think that was Jay's vocal that
he
pitched
down. I see.
We wanted to do something that was kind of like that southern kind of trap, you know, element in the track. And
because I was listening
in there,
I was waiting for his signature sound.
Yeah.
But that's cool, man. That's a good name to throw down, and I don't see him guesting on too many stuff.
I guess not. You know, I'm not really like a really really up and up. Like, Tim is more that guy, like the Suicidal stuff. And but yeah, I guess so. It's an honor to have him. And also just like being able to ask him his advice and steer us the right way, try to figure it out, and also trying to figure out how to put the record out too, you know. Still in talks about the way we're going to do it and trying to balance that with, you know, our day job too. So yeah.
Well, that might actually keep you on the road for a year long. I mean, kind of asking for it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I hope people like it as well, too. You know, that's a... Yeah, like, well, groove-oriented, like James Brown kind of, you know?
You guys, kind of thing, I mean, so, the two of you together, your paths are many. It depends just yeah. which ones you want to take.
That's right, yeah.
And, you know, me, yeah. I'm, thank God I like the one path that I've been allowed by the fates to take. Because, I mean, I couldn't even begin to think of, like, some of these other paths that are open to you guys. Mm. So, yeah. No, it's great. It's a great album.
Thanks, man.
And, you know, say hi to Tim.
I know yeah, man.
We'll laid out. He's feeling under the weather today.
All good.
But, and, man, best to you and just how everything's been going, man. Keep it up. And yes. It's just great to have you on the podcast, man. I've been wanting you to be on. You know I have.
Yeah, no, man. And likewise, brother. No,
I've been bugging you.
I wanted to be on too, man. You know, just to be able to hang with you, Danko, man, you know. But hopefully at some point I get the rest of the band in here too. They're really cool. Just talk about music and just stuff, man. We really we'll get to do that, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I'm down, point. Man. I support you guys and come back.
Definitely. Most definitely.
Thanks man.
Thanks.
Got your chains hanging like a Great Dane's tall. Not a pair of balls swinging it. You can't say nothing. Fuck a mainstay. Namestay faded in the sun. Cause it ain't where you came from. Motherfucker came on. Walking on stars like the tombstones, buried in the sidewalk, staring to the eyes till they lose hope. Two stones, high off their coupons, a mile by the birds in the sky who see food on them. Getting hotter in the sun, in the water will be fun. Disorder is one to one, so they find I'm a mother on near a restaurant. A mother needs a gun in a headshot, dead pop. They want action up front and back end. Hit your cues, motherfucker, backspin. This ain't the golden age, that was back.